lives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And we talked about how to love our wives as Christ loved the church means that we are to love them sacrificially, because that's how he loved the church. He didn't just say he loved the church. He demonstrated his love for the church by giving his life for the church. And so if, as husbands, we're going to love our wives as Christ loved the church, then we're going to have to love them sacrificially. We're going to have to give of ourselves, give of our time, our resources, give even our lives if necessary. But we're going to have to love sacrificially, and I said that's a love that transcends. It goes beyond mere words. It's far more than you just telling your wife that you love her. It's you showing that you love her by giving yourself for her. And then we looked at verses 26 and 27 and talked about how one reason why, or really the main reason why, the Lord gave himself for the church was so that he could transform the church, which is his bride, into the bride that he wanted for himself. And what we saw in 26 and 27 is that he wants a clean bride, a pure bride, a bride that doesn't have spot or wrinkle. And I talked about how it's a picture of a beautiful bride that's clean, that's pure, one that has on a garment that is free from any spot, any dirt, any defilement whatsoever. And all the wrinkles have been ironed out. It's a picture of a beautiful bride. And that's the kind of bride that the Lord, as you see in verse 27, wants presented to himself. That's the kind of bride he wants. And we talked in verse 26 about how the main way that the Lord sanctifies and cleanses, how he cleans up his bride, is through the Word of God, the washing of water by the Word. And we looked at several scriptures, or a few scriptures, that talk about how the Word of God will clean up our lives. It'll clean up our mind. It'll clean up our mouth. It'll clean up our morals. It'll clean up our heart. It'll just do a tremendous work. It will literally transform our lives if we'll make use of what it says. And this shows that the love we're to have for our wives is a love that transforms. Not just a love that transcends, but a love that transforms. And our, I guess, as husbands, the main thing we should want for our wives is for them to be transformed into the women that God wants them to be. Now, as I mentioned in Sunday school, we can't force anybody to have the kind of relationship they need with the Lord. We can't do that. So there's definitely some personal responsibility on behalf of our wives. They have to want, amen, they have to want themselves to be what God wants them to be. That has to be in their heart. But then you and I as husbands need to do anything that we can to help them with that process. We need to see to the spiritual well-being of our wives, make sure that they come in contact with that water of the Word as much as possible, so that God can transform them and change them into the person that he intends for them to be. Now tonight we're going to pick up here in verse number 28 and go on through the end of this chapter. And in verse 28, Paul says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies." And I believe this is part of loving our wives as Christ loved the church, because the church in the Bible is not just a bride, but the church is also described as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says men ought to love their wives as their own bodies, well, that's part of loving your wife as Christ loved the church, because the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk in more detail in a moment about us loving our wives as our own bodies. But notice he says in verse 28, "He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And one reason why that's the case is because, as you see on down in this chapter, when a man and woman get married, they become one in the eyes of God. They're no longer two, they're one. So when a man loves his wife, then guess what? He's loving himself because his wife is literally now a part of him. They have been made one through their union. Look on down at verse number 31 in this chapter. And here Paul is quoting from the Old Testament. He's actually quoting from the very first book in the Bible, from the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. He says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife." Here it is. "And they two shall be one flesh." Now, I can't explain all that, but that's what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, I believe it. I don't have to understand everything the Bible says to believe it. Amen? That's what faith is about. You read the Bible and you take God at his word, whether you can understand it or not, whether you can explain it or not. And what the Bible teaches is that when a man and a woman get married, they're no longer two, they become one. So he that loveth his wife loveth himself, because she is now part of him. Look at verse 29. And verse 29, to me, gives a further explanation as to what is meant when he says in verse 28, men are to love their wives as their own bodies. Look at verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh." No man ever yet hated his own flesh. That's no man in his right mind. No man in his right mind hates his own flesh, his body, in the sense that he wants to harm his body or hurt his body or do something that would be detrimental to his body. A man in his right mind is not going to do that. Now, I know that all of us have seen and heard about men or people that have done bad things to their body, but those are people who are not in their right mind. Those are people that are either under the influence of drugs or alcohol, or maybe they're under the influence of a devil. You see people that go to mutilating their body or doing bad things to their body, you can chalk it up, friend. There's some influence there that's causing them not to think right. It's either some drug or something they're drinking, or a devil has got a hold of them. One thing you find in the Bible is that when a person gets possessed by an unclean spirit, one thing they do is they mutilate their body. Y'all remember the story in Mark chapter 5 of that man who's possessed with a legion of devils, the Bible says? Remember, he lives out in the graveyard, out among the tombs. And what is one thing the Bible say that man was doing to himself all the time? Cutting himself is what he was doing. Now, that's a man who's not in his right mind. He's under the influence not of a single devil, but of a whole legion of devils, it seems, according to what is said in that chapter. But when you're talking about a person who's in their right frame of mind, okay, if they're in their right frame of mind, they don't hate their own flesh. They're not going to purposely do things to harm themselves. They're not going to do that if they're in the right frame of mind. So he says men ought to love their wives as their own bodies, because normally a man loves his body in the sense that he's going to take care of it, that he's going to make sure it gets what it needs. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it," that is his body, "even as the Lord the church." So he says, no man hates his flesh, but this is what he does. He nourishes and cherishes his flesh. He makes sure that his body gets the nourishment that it needs. If it needs food, he gives it food, right? Now, some of us, we go a little beyond nourishment. We get beyond that. But what he's saying is that a man, normally, if his body needs some kind of nourishment, something to eat, something to drink, if it needs rest, whatever it needs, that man's going to do whatever he can to make sure his body gets that. He nourishes and cherisheth. The word cherish means to protect and care for. And we're going to try to protect our bodies. If we're in the right frame of mind, we're going to try to take care of ourselves. We're not going to purposely do things that would cause us to break our bones or seriously damage ourselves, anything like that. We're going to try to take care of ourselves if we're in the right frame of mind. And the idea is this. That's how we're to be as husbands toward our wives. You have to keep that in mind. Now, I told you this morning in 26 through 33, Paul is elaborating on the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and the church, but he does that so that you and I as men can understand what kind of husbands he expects us to be. He expects us to give of ourselves and even give ourselves if necessary. He expects us to do what we can to help our wives be transformed into the women God wants them to be. And then, I see here from what we're looking at, that he expects us to take care of our wives, to take care of them, to nourish them, to cherish them, just like we would our own bodies. And just like the Lord Jesus Christ does the church. You see that at the end of verse 29? But nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. What does the Lord do for his body? Takes care of it, protects it. He makes sure that it gets the nourishment that it needs. And that's the way us husbands are to be to our wives. Amen, ladies? Ladies, y'all missing a lot of golden opportunities to say amen tonight. Give you every chance I can. You ought to be saying amen or gouging your husband or doing something. Take advantage of it. But us husbands ought to take care of our wives. We ought to make sure that we nourish and cherish them just like we would our own bodies, just like the Lord does the church. What does that involve? What is involved in nourishing and cherishing your wives? Well, nourishment, you make sure that you get what you need. So if I'm going to nourish my wife, then I got to make sure that I take care of the needs that she has. And I believe that is any need. Whatever the need is, I need to try to take care of that, right? If it's a physical need, if she's sick, she's got something wrong, I need to do anything I can to make sure she gets the help she needs so she can get well, right? It's emotional. If she has an emotional need of some kind, I need to do what I can to help her to get the help that she needs in that. But I think most especially, above all, as I mentioned this morning, it has to do with her spiritual well-being. Each one of us need that spiritual nourishment. We all need it, whether we realize it or not. We all need spiritual nourishment. We have to feed that new man. And I need to do what I can to make sure that she gets the spiritual nourishment that she needs. I need to make sure she has opportunity, as I said this morning, to spend time in the Bible like she wants to and like she needs to. I think all of us would agree, hopefully we would all agree, that each and every one of us, husbands, wives, whatever, we all need time in the Word of God, amen? We need that. And I need to afford her that opportunity. If that means that I have to sacrifice some of my time and watch Matthew or do whatever I got to do so she can have that time alone with God, I need to do that. I need to make sure she has that time to spend with the Lord, because here's the thing, folks. The only way she's going to be for me what God wants her to be is to have that time with the Lord. She can't be what God wants her to be on her own. God's got to help her. He's got to help her. So I need to make sure that she's able to have that time with the Lord. I need to make sure that I spend time with her in the Word of God, that she's able to come to church and listen to the Word of God. I've never asked her who her favorite preacher is. I've always been scared to do that. I'm just going to go on thinking that I am. What I'm going to do. But I need to nourish my wife. Most of all, spiritually, I need to nourish her. I need to cherish her. I need to protect her. I need to protect her physically. And I don't have any problem saying that I will do that if I can. I know I'm a preacher, and I know preachers are supposed to be you know, people have a certain perception of preachers and that sort of thing, and you can think whatever you want to about me, but I'm not going to let people be ugly to my wife, okay? I'm not going to do that. And if I can prevent somebody from hurting my wife, I'm going to do that. Whatever I got to do. You hear me? Whatever I got to do. And I think any man that doesn't do that's a sorry individual, is what I think. I'm just tell it like it is, all right? Fella won't take care of his wife's a sorry man. That's what I believe. He ought to be willing to die for his wife to take care of her, to protect her. But it's not just protecting your wife physically. That's part of it, obviously, but it's also protecting her, again, spiritually. It's, as a husband, if I see in any way that maybe my wife is getting some bad advice, or if she's maybe headed in a direction that is really not good for her spiritually, that I love her enough to warn her about that. And I say, baby, I love you, but you don't need to be hanging around with that person. You don't need to be listening. That's bad advice. You don't need to take that advice. Now, I can't make her do anything, but I can warn her, and I can do my best to steer her in the right direction. And I think that's part of me cherishing my wife, loving her enough to try to protect her from deception or falsehood or lies or anything that the devil might try to do in her life. This is what Paul is talking about when he says men ought to love their wives as their own bodies, were to nourish, were to cherish them. This is all involved in being the husband that God wants us to be. And I said when talking to the ladies that I pray every woman in here wants to be the woman God wants them to be, because that's what matters, right? Amen? That's what matters. The same is true for us men. You and I as husbands should want to be the men God wants us to be, including the kind of husband that he wants us to be. That should be our desire. We shouldn't worry about what other men are doing and what other people think. Sometimes us men, and let's just be real about it, sometimes us men are kind of arrogant. We're kind of prideful about things, and we don't like to do things that we think in our mind would cause us to appear weak in the eyes of others, especially other men. And I think one reason, I mean, let's tell it like it is. I think one reason why sometimes us men don't show the affection toward our wives that we need to and that sort of thing is because we think that's weakness, shows weakness on our part, especially if we're around some other man. Because, you know, we got to be macho. You know, we got to beat our chest and, you know, don't want anybody to see any weakness. Well, folks, it's not weakness. Men, it's not weakness for us to love our wives the way God tells us to love them. That's not weakness. And you don't ever need to be ashamed of trying your best to be the kind of husband God wants you to be. Don't ever be ashamed of that. And don't ever let anybody make you think that's weakness. It's not weakness at all. The easy thing, by the way, the easy thing is to just withhold your affection and not be what you need to be so that you can appear a certain way in the eyes of others. That's the easy thing. We don't ever need to be influenced by folk that are along those lines. Nourish and cherish your wife. And this, you know, going back to the responsibility of the wives, this is what I believe. I believe that a woman would have an easier time doing the things that God tells her to do if us husbands would do for them what we're supposed to do. That's what I believe. I really do. I just think that a woman would have a lot easier time being submissive to a husband that she knows loves her like Christ loves the church. I really believe that. But now let me quickly say that husbands and wives, we're to do our part irregardless of how our spouse is. Even if our wives are not what they need to be, I'm still supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. But I can say this, it's a lot easier to love a woman who wants to be what God wants her to be than one that's not. And it's a lot easier for a woman to be what she needs to be when she's got a husband that loves the Lord and loves her like Christ loved the church. Amen. It's a lot easier. This whole thing would work a lot better. A man told me a long time ago, I was questioning him about something, and this was the answer he gave me. He said, well, brother, sin complicates things. And that seems, you know, but you just think about it. Sin complicates things. You know one reason why it seems sometimes that a husband-wife relationship is complicated? Is because there's sin involved. Sin complicates things. This whole thing right here of wives being a certain way and husbands being a certain way would just be so much easier. They'd be such less complication and less difficulty if wives and husbands would just try to do what God told them to do. It's when one or the other or both won't do what God said that things get complicated. That's what makes it more difficult and harder. Look at verse 30. The Bible says this, for we are members of his body, talking about the Lord, of his flesh and of his bones. He just mentioned in verse 29 that the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. And then he says, for we, us saved people, are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ now that we're saved. We are literally a part of his body. We're joined to him. And that one is one reason, by the way, why we have security as Christians. That's why we don't have to worry about losing our salvation, about going to hell after we're saved. Because when a person gets saved, the Bible teaches they're baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They literally become members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. We are part of him when we get saved. He's in us, we're in him. We have that twofold union as saved people. And do you realize that if I am part of his bones and part of his flesh, if I have that kind of relationship, that spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ, what would he have to do for me to be lost after I'm saved? Well, it's like this. See, all right, my finger, that's a member of my body, right? It's just one, but that's a member of my body, correct? It just said there, we are members of his body. This finger's a member of my body. For that to no longer be there, if I decide I don't want that finger anymore, what I got to do with that? I got to cut the thing off, and then I walk around, I got four fingers here. Y'all follow what I'm saying to you? You get saved, you are a member of his body. Spiritually, you are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. For you to be unsaved, guess what he's got to do? He's got to lop off parts of his body. Y'all understand that? We have security as saved people. We're part of him. Look at verse 31 again. I mentioned it earlier. He quotes from Genesis chapter 2. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. This is what was said whenever God made the first man and the first woman, and he brought them together. Who was the first man and first woman? Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve, amen. Adam and Eve, who that was. And this is what was said about the first man and first woman. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. When God said that, obviously he had future relationships in mind. Because notice, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Adam and Eve didn't have a father and mother to leave, right? First man, first woman. They didn't have parents to leave. So obviously when he says this, he's referring to future relationships, times in the future when other men and women would get married. And he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. When a man gets married, he is to leave and cleave. He is to leave his father and mother, not leave in the sense that he doesn't respect them and doesn't honor them, doesn't love them or try to help them or anything like that, but leave in the sense that he gets out and he stands on his own two feet and he has his own family and his own relationship with his wife. That's the idea. And I don't think we have anybody in here that's dating, but just to pass on to children or grandchildren or whatever, I think it would be a red flag, ladies, if you're dealing with a fella who's, just always wanting to be right there with mom and dad and wanting to live with them after you get married and all that kind of business. It's leave and cleave, friend. And I'd be very leery about a fella who didn't want to get out and stand on his own two feet and make his own way in life. Get a job and take care of his family. That's the way God intended for it to be. Or have this guy who, every time some decision comes up, he's got to run back home and ask mommy and daddy if it's all right to do it. That man needs to have his own walk with God, his own relationship with God, needs to be able to get on his knees and pray and read the Bible and guide his family the way God wants him to guide his family. Not having to always depend on his parents to lead him. It's leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. That's never, for me, had never really been a problem. I think partly because of how my mother raised me. My mother raised me to be an independent man, to grow up and get out on my own and stand on my own two feet. And I thank God for that. I thank the Lord for that kind of raising. I really do. That's the way it ought to be. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. I'm not so sure why she was wanting to get rid of me so bad, though. Not sure I understand all that. I've questioned that a time or two. Being the angel that I was, I don't know why she didn't want to keep me around. What y'all laughing about? Amen. That's right. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, we're fixing to be finished. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. One thing that shows, he's talking about wives and husbands, wives, and then he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. One thing that shows is that the relationship between man and wife, man and woman, husband and wife, is a picture or a type of the relationship that exists between Jesus Christ and the church. It's one thing that shows. And then he says in verse 33, nevertheless, this is how he concludes this whole thing here, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, that's each one of us husbands, each one of us in particular, so love his wife even as himself. And that goes back up to verse 29 where he says, verse 28 where he says, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. So each one of us in particular, we should love our wife even as we love ourselves. And then the wife see that she reverence her husband. We've already talked about that. Any questions about what we looked at in these verses here tonight? Any questions?